Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who is here. And I pray today that the unction, the insight, and the power in which you have given me to give to your people, I pray that no one will be distracted, that they will hear exactly what you would have them to hear. And Lord, I thank you that as I step back, you will use me to speak the oracles of God. And I thank you, Lord, that as we hear it, as we believe it, as we receive it, and as we exercise it, our lives will go to new levels that we've never seen before. And I thank you for signs, miracles, and wonders to follow your word. It's in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. As you take your seats, would you give a big hand clap to our online audience? Can y'all do that? Thank you for watching and viewing us. Believe it or not, here we are going into three services, and we actually have more people that view the service than we do that attend the service. Isn't that amazing? So we're ending the year 2024, and I asked the Lord, what did he want me to share with you? And the word that I got was the word now. Everybody say now. Now, so I had to pray about what he meant by that word. I couldn't just start studying because I didn't really know what he wanted me to share on. So he gave me that word now. So if you're taking notes, or by the way, if you need a copy of today's notes, raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy. And if you're watching by way of the internet, there should be some type of link that you can click to and also get today's notes. But if you're taking notes or following me, the lesson title this morning is Now is the Time. Everybody say now is the time. I'm not sure what's going on in your life, but what I do know is that the time to do what God wants you to do is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. When is it, church? It's now. And sometimes we get stuck in cycles when God works in seasons. See, a cycle is a repeated pattern, or it's a process that happens over and over and over without much change. But a season, everybody say a season. A season is a period of time that has a clear beginning and end. A season represents God's ordained timing and purpose for a specific period of time in our life, which in most cases leads us into something great. Cycles represent areas of life where there has been little or no progress. Cycles, they also continue to reoccur, and sometimes these occurrences are mistakes. Some people are caught up in cycles of mistakes. Some of these cycles also include strongholds. Some cycles cause lack of growth, lack of fulfillment, and the feelings of stagnation. So if you're feeling stagnant, chances are you're in a cycle. Because a cycle keeps you stuck in the same place while a season moves you forward into God's purpose for your life. And today, God wants you to know that now is the time to move into your new season. Now you may say, well, Pastor, what is it time for? Look at your neighbor and say, he's about to tell you right now. It's time to obey God. It's time to break the cycle of fear. It's time to break the cycle of disobedience. It's time to break free from any excuse that keeps you back from doing what God wants you to do. And I believe God is saying to us today, the same thing he said in Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 1. They're going to put it on the screen. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. I actually read this verse last week. God said, then we turned around. This was Moses writing this. He says, then we turned around and we headed back across the wilderness toward the Red Sea, just as the Lord had instructed me. And we wandered around in the region of Mount Seir for a long time. That sounds like a cycle to me. Anytime you and I repeat things over and over and over, but we're not making progress, chances are we're in a cycle. And so verse 3, he says, God said to them, he says, then at last the Lord said to me, you have been wandering around in this hill country long enough. I need you to turn north and give these orders or these instructions to the people. And see, church, there are two things that are necessary to break a cycle. The first one is a word from God. Do you notice that they were circling around in the hill country? And finally, the Lord said, wait a minute, you've been circling. You've been in this cycle long enough. And the Bible says God gave them some instructions. So the first thing that you and I must do to break a cycle is God must say something to us. And one of the things that God is saying to you today to break some cycles is now is the time. Because most of you have been spiritually on obedience vacation. So number one, a word from the Lord is what would break a cycle. And then number two, intentional actions of faith to obey what he tells you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, to everything there is a season. Everybody say a season. He said that to everything there's a season. And then there's a specific time to every purpose under heaven. Listen to the Message translation. He says there's an opportune time to do things. Read this part with me. A right time. What kind of time? Everybody say right now. Yeah, a right time for everything on the earth. Listen, church, it is time to do what God has put in your heart to do. And see, some of you all may be saying, well, Pastor, I don't have the money to do what God wants me to do. I can't start that business without money, Pastor. Some of you are saying, well, I don't have the education that I want. I need to get my master's. I want to get my doctoral. I don't have the money to push forward in my education. Some of you, I don't have the connections, Pastor. I don't even know where to start. Well, let me help you this morning. Because anything God wants you to do, watch this now, it always starts with a yes. And you don't have to know what he wants you to do to say yes. Say amen to that. See, your yes is what God needs to end the cycle and start your season. I'm going to say that again. Your yes is what God needs to end the cycle that you're in and start your season. If cycles must end for a new season to start, that means sometimes or something must come to a close. In other words, something must die. And see, most people, they're waiting for God to tell them something when he's waiting on you to say yes first. So I don't know what he's going to tell me, so I ain't ready to say yes. That means you don't trust him. Do you know you can't obey somebody you don't trust? And that's the problem. Many of us, I'm not saying yes. I don't know. He might tell me to go to Africa. How many of you used to have that thought? Be like, Lord, please don't send me to Africa. I still have that thought. Lord, I ain't going to Africa. Right? Well, our next season starts with a yes. So here's my first point if you're taking notes. Something must die for your next season to live. I'm going to say that again. Something must die for your next season to live. I'm going to show you this principle in Joshua chapter 1. And while I'm talking, I need you to ask the Lord, Lord, what's in my life that needs to die? It says now, everybody say now. Everybody say now. See, what's the name of the message? Now is the time. Watch what God said to Moses. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, and he said, Moses, my servant, is what, church? What is Moses? Moses is dead. What's the next word, church? Now. Something's dead. Something died. So now I want you to do something. He says, now I want you to arise and go over to Jordan. And I want you to take all these people into the land which I will give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon is what I have given unto you, says Moses. Like I said to Moses, watch this now, church. Cycles must die for your next season to live. Let's not make death difficult, because death is just a decision. See, once you say yes to God, the death process starts. Amen. Death, listen, is the beginning of fruit being produced. Death is not bad. Even in the natural, if you are a believer, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So even in the natural, if you die, it betters you. Well, listen, there are some things that God needs you to die to, and it needs to start when? Now, because there are some things that you need to die to in 2024 so you can produce some fruit in 2025. Death is the beginning of fruit being produced. It's the doorway, watch this now, to a new season of fruitfulness. Listen to John chapter 12, verse 24. Jesus was talking. I'm reading out of the King James Version. Jesus said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, except the corn of wheat falls into the ground and it dies, it will abide alone. He says, but if it dies, if that wheat, that corn of wheat, if it falls in the ground and if it dies, it brings forth what, church? Much. It didn't just say fruit. It said much fruit. And then he that loves his life will lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it into eternal life. Any man that serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Listen to that in the New Living Translation. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted into the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. And those who love their life in this world will lose it. And those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Church, let me tell you something. The reality of new seasons are only experienced when we choose to die to the last season we were in. Everybody say years ago. Years ago, my life consists of real big yeses. And I took my yeses seriously. Because when I first got saved, nobody told me you got to say yes to Jesus consistently. I thought you just say yes one time. I say yes to Jesus to get saved, and that's it. That's not it. I hate to bust your bubble this morning, but you have to keep saying yes. If you want the more than abundant life that he died for you to have, you're gonna have to say yes more than once. So I reached to a point, you know, there are certain yeses I said. You know, he wanted me to move to Ohio. I didn't like the cold, but I said yes. He wanted me to take a job that was paying less than these other two jobs that was offered, but I said yes. Then, after being there 5 years, I was one of those, I was the youngest manager in this company. They had sat me down and pretty much gave me like this track. Evan, if you just keep doing this, we're going to keep promoting you, right? And I'll never forget, I went on a missions trip. And at that missions trip, the Lord spoke to me and told me he wanted me to quit my job and go to Bible school in Jamaica. I wanted to say the devil is a lie, but I knew the devil wouldn't tell me to go to Bible school. He's not going to tell you that. And I struggled with that, Because here it is. Listen now, I'm going to just give y'all perspective. This was in 1989. I was making 40 G's a year. So think about that. You know, 40,000 is decent to some people these days. I mean, but think about that. 40,000, how many years ago was that? What? A lot. Everybody say years ago. And so the Lord was like, I want you to quit your job. And you know, here's the thing, and I'll show you. You know, my pastors at the time confirmed that. They was like, yeah, we feel that's what you're supposed to do. So long story short, I'll never forget. Because when you start saying yes, people around you are going to think you're crazy. So when I announced to everybody, you know, I gave them my notice and all this stuff. They was like, are you going to quit your job? What are you going to do? I'm going to Jamaica to the mission field. Are you sure you want to do that? I mean, you can serve the poor here, can't you? No, the Lord want me to go to Jamaica. And so, Sharice and I, we just came back from Jamaica. And so I was telling her certain things that I had to experience there. One of the things is for 2 years, I had to shower with cold water. Now, I don't care how hot it is outside. You don't want a cold water shower. I'm telling you. So anyway, I'll never forget. I was like, Lord, you know what? I tell you what, Lord. You told Peter them. You know what Peter them means, Peter and them. I said, you told Peter them that if a person left their father and their mother and their land and all this stuff, you would give them 100-fold in this life. I said, I want that. So I took my calculator out. Y'all think I'm lying. I took my calculator out and I said 40,000 times 100. Somebody do that for me. Give me the math. Somebody give me the math. Huh? How much is it? A lot. Yeah. Now I want the number. Somebody give me the number. Isn't it like 4.3 million? What is it? 4 million. I said, Lord, that's what you owe me. See, y'all laughing, but here's the thing. I did not make him make me that promise. He told me he would just do that. So I'm just holding him to it. Look at your name and say, he holding him to it. God had more in mind, watch this, for me than my comfort. While I was focused on comfort, he was focused on my calling. Y'all got dark in here. I mean, y'all already kind of chocolate and stuff anyway. We got some sprinkles of caramel and vanilla. Let me tell you something, church. Comfort is always the enemy to your call. And see, some of y'all are saying, well, Pastor, what do I do? I don't know what I need to do. God ever spoke to me and what my call is yet. Well, I said it before and I'm going to tell you one more time. I'm going to repeat myself. God needs a yes before you can make progress. God will always provide where he guides. He will make you into who you need to be, and he will even make for you what you need for him when you follow him. In other words, what I'm saying is, once you say yes, you become his responsibility now. Which brings us now to the next point. And that is, because most people, they're still stuck on, well, God, what do I do? How you gonna make me into what you're calling me? How you gonna make me this business owner that you said? How are you gonna do that? Well, here's point number two. My making comes from my following. Everybody say, my making comes from my following. You say, what do you mean by that? Listen, Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Cause no one is a ready-made package. No one is instant oatmeal. No. Being made into what God wants you to do is a process. Everybody say process. So watch this. Matthew chapter 4 verse 18 in the King James, it says, and Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. They were casting a net into the sea. For they were what, church? They were fishers. And he, Jesus, said to them, read it with me, church. What did he say? Follow me. Say it one more time. Follow me. Now look at your neighbor and say, Jesus, say, follow him. He said, follow me. Watch this now. As a result of them following him, watch what he said he was going to do. He says, if you'll follow me, I will make you fishers of men, which means that God can make me what he needs me to be, even if I'm not there right now. He said, I will make you fishers of men. And so they left their nets and followed him. Listen to the Message translation. Walking into the long beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. Jesus said to them, come with me. Read this word, this part with me, church. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. He says, I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. They didn't ask any questions. They simply dropped their nets and followed. And so many times, the reason things can't start now is because we're not willing to drop what we're doing. And you say, Pastor, are you telling me to quit my job? No, I'm not telling you to do that. No, because he didn't tell them to do that. He told them to follow him. My question to you is, what does following him to you look like? Because everybody's individual instructions for their call is different. My instructions was he wanted me to go to Bible school in Jamaica. Did I want to do it? No. God will make us into what he has called us if we follow him. Notice I say if we follow him. I want you to notice Jesus said that he would make them into something they weren't. But this meant they had to follow him. So here's a question. Touch your neighbor and say, here's a question. If God's will is God's will attractive enough for you to follow it? Oh, that's, but it, why he ended the summer, this, why he ended 2024 like this? I'm going to ask the question again. Is God's will attractive enough for you to follow it? This is where you have to be promise led and not flesh fed. Everybody say back in the day. See, back in the day, you know, they used to have this mall called Redbird Mall. And one of the purposes of Redbird Mall, if you were a young person, was to go and get phone numbers. We didn't shop too much. Didn't have no money. We had vision, though. Watch this. And you only went to the people, women, if you're a man, you only went to the people or the ladies, girls, whatever you want to call them. You only went to the ones that were attractive to you. So my question is God's will attractive enough for you to follow it? Amen. Doing what my flesh wants may bring temporary satisfaction, but it will always lead to spiritual dissatisfaction. And I know some of you all are still stuck. You still stuck on, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I've been praying, seeking the Lord. I was fasting and I have some decisions I need to make. There are some things in my heart, but I don't know where to start. Well, I'm going to say it one more time. God doesn't need to provide you with resources for something you haven't said yes to. So look at your neighbor and say, he's waiting on you to say yeah. God's instructions always come after you have decided to follow him. So here's a heavy truth. I'm about to say something real heavy. Oh man, this is so good. Thank you, Lord. God can't trust you until he has tested you. I'm going to say that again. God can't trust you until he has tested you. You ain't gonna trust your kids with your car until they've gone to the driver's license places and start learning the driver's license, right? Take the test. You gotta take the test. And I'm not gonna let you drive my car by yourself until you have passed the test. Well, guess what? God can't trust you until he has tested you. And there are many sons and daughters of God who want God to trust them, but they have not been tested by him. See, God needs to test you before he can trust you. Genesis 22. We're going to go back to that story I read for the offering. This is Genesis 22 verse 1. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Because Abraham had to be trusted. See, people think that God blessed Abraham just because he liked Abraham. That's part of it. But God likes everybody, hopefully. What's the thing? No. God will do things for people that he trusts more than those that he don't trust. Here's a side note. Do you know God can't trust everybody with increase? You're wondering why you're struggling. Part of your struggle is because God can't trust you with what you already got. Oh Lord, please let me say this in a nice way. God doesn't promote thieves. I want a promotion. No, you don't. Real quiet in here, ain't it? I was saying amen a few minutes ago. Listen to this. Sometime later, read this part with me. God tested Abraham's faith. Let's read that again. God tested Abraham's faith. What was being tested? Abraham's faith. Who was testing him? God. So he told him to take his son, his only begotten son, Isaac, whom he loved, and go to this land. He says, I want you to go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. He says, and so watch this. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He didn't even negotiate with God. Well, why you ask me to do that? Can I tell you something? God can always require back what he's given you. Did you hear what I said? No, that's why you should hold everything that you have loosely, because it's not yours. You're just a manager. And if God decides he wants, watch this, he wants what you have to change management companies, then he will put it on your heart to give it to somebody. But if you think it's yours. So God told Abraham, I want the son I gave you, I want him back. So watch this now. So he saddled up the donkey, took two of his servants. He chopped some wood for a burnt offering. He went out to do this. On the third day of the journey, Abraham looked up. He saw the place. He said, stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I. Notice he said the boy. It wasn't a baby. This boy helped him carry the wood. The boy and I will travel farther and we will worship there and we'll be right back. He had faith. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders. Wow, he was big enough to carry this wood. And while he carried the fire and the knife and the two of them walked together, Isaac turned to his father. He says, Father, yes, my son, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? And the Bible says, he says, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering. And they both walked together. And when they got there, watch this. Abraham built the altar. He put the wood around it. He tied up his son Isaac and laid him on the wood. Let me tell you something. While Abraham was trusting God, Isaac was trusting Abraham. You see that? While Abraham was trusting God, his son Isaac was trusting him. Does your life reflect so much obedience to the people around you that they can trust what you say and follow what you do because they know the results of your obedience always brings increase in your life? He pulled it up and we all know the story. He got ready to kill his son. And then verse 12, it says, don't lay a hand on the boy. The angel said, don't hurt him, because I want you to see something here. He says, do not hurt him in any way. Watch this, church. For now, we in church, Now, he says, because you were willing to sacrifice your son, he says, now I know that you truly fear the Lord. Because sometimes God needs to test you to see if you fear him like you think you do. And now, church, is the time for you and I to trust God like never before. Now is the time to obey God like never before. My question to you is, can you discern what God is saying to you today? Isaiah 43:18, it says, remember you not the former things, neither the things of old. Watch verse 19, this is good. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. What's the word? Next word? When? Now. He says, it's going to spring forth. He says, shall you not know it? He says, listen, what I got going, I will even make a way in the wilderness and I will cause rivers to flow through a desert. Listen to the voice translation. Don't revel only in the past or spend all your time recounting victories of days gone by. He says, watch closely. I'm preparing something new. It is happening when, church? Now, even as I speak and you're about to see it, I'm preparing a way through the desert. Waters will flow where there had been none. I'm asking you, can you discern what God is saying? Because there are some things he wants you to do right now. You didn't put it off long enough. And here's the problem. We want everything up front before we start. But that doesn't require faith. Faith is the substance of things we hope for, but it's the evidence of what I can't see. So if I have to see it, I'm not functioning in faith. And what we're doing, we're waiting on God to do everything. We're waiting on him to supply all the money for the business. We're waiting on him to open all the doors, when the fact of the matter is, God will give you more along the way than what you had when you started. He is just waiting on you to take a step. Which brings us now to point number three, and that is, ooh, this is so good. Lord, help me. Please help me communicate this. Your obedience to your now will always produce provisions for your later. Boy, I tell you what, that Pastor Evan, he teaching it. Let me give myself an offering real quick. Hold on for me. Let me give us. I'm going to say that again. Your obedience to your now will always produce provision for your later. Church, obedience is the seed that produces a harvest for vision later. I'm going to say that again. Obedience is the seed that will produce a harvest for my vision later. Don't miss what God is wanting to do, because he wants to do it now. Because some of you all are trying to see how it's going to work out later, but that's not how faith works. Listen, I don't need to see anything in the natural. Watch this, because my faith is my evidence. Did you hear what I said? I don't need to see nothing in the natural. Why? Because my faith is the evidence of that thing. That's why it says, now faith is the substance of the things that I want or hope for. But my faith is the evidence of things not seen. So I don't have to see it. All I have to do is have faith, because faith are my eyes to get what I can't see right now. How you respond now determines what happens later. And you can live safe and stay stuck in the cycle, or you can live in faith and create a new season. Because I believe there are some decisions for you to make right now in 2024 that will start a new season for you in 2025. But you're going to have to step out. You're going to have to trust him. And sometimes we sung the song, God is able to do. Come on, sing it. Well, just he said he will, but will you? So y'all know I like to say my little stories. And I got 10 minutes and I might give y'all some change today. But when we was building this church, because it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, project-wise, We built, and you know, I believe in God ought to have the best. Amen. Amen. The church ought to be nice. Now, I ain't criticizing nobody else's church. I'm just saying I got faith for what we got right here. Right? And so I wanted to have top-notch windows and stuff. And so we ordered. Until I got the bill, I was like, Jesus. I don't know. For some reason, I'm attracted to very expensive stuff. I can go in the store and just pick something. And I'm there. Oh, I like that. Oh, that's the most expensive thing in the store. I wonder why. So anyway, ordered these windows. And at the time, we had one loan that was finishing and one loan that was supposed to start, but the loan that was supposed to start had all these conditions that they didn't have on it at first. And I'm like, whoa, what's up with these people? Because I saw them do some things that were illegal. So they went back and they created a waiver for me to sign to say I wouldn't sue them. And I'm like, wait a minute. No, you ain't going to do me like that. So I was like, so I ain't going to sign the paper. Like, well, we ain't giving you no more money until you sign that paper. I was like, well, you ain't, don't do this. I'm thinking, you didn't tell me to build, the Lord did. So I just started using all the money we had. And when you already know, when you start writing more bills than you have money, what happens? The money start running out. Money ran out. It was time to pay the window lady. I ain't got no window money. It was $287,000 we owed this lady. No, it was $187,000. $187,000. That's a lot of money. So when the builder told me, he was like, Pastor, the window lady called me today and she says, if you don't pay her today, she gonna sue you and put a lien on this church. I was like, what? I was like, first thing I thought of, let me meet with her. Cause I talk for a living. So that ought to help me right there. I talk for a living. I said, let me meet with her. So he set up a meeting. So I'm on my way to the meeting. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to tell this lady. What am I going to say? I can tell her we got a loan that's sitting there with all this money. She's going to be like, well, why you can't write no checks on that loan? But I don't want to sign this waiver. She's going to be like, that ain't my problem, you know. So I go, and as soon as I was getting out of the car, the Lord tells me, tell her your pastor's story about his car. I knew what story he was talking about. Years ago, my pastor, the Lord told him to get another car. And so he had a raggedy car. And I'm talking to somebody right now. Maybe that's your next now. Maybe you need to get another car. Amen. And so he didn't have no money, no credit. Everything was bad. He went to a bank. No. Finally, he got to a bank. The man said, yeah. Told him, if you'll find the car, we'll give you this much money. And you have to come up with this much. So he goes to the car lot and he's sitting down there in front of the car manager. And he was like, yeah, I found this car. And the manager was like, well, how much money you got? He said, none. Well, how's your credit? It's not good. And my pastor said, but if you'll trust me to Monday, this was on a Friday. If you'll trust me to Monday, I'll bring you the down payment you need. And he stuck his hand out there for him to shake it. And the man was like, we don't do business like that. I'm not going to let you take this car home and you owe me some money. But he stuck his hand out there and my pastor left his hand out there. So the used car manager, was like, okay, preacher. So he shook his hand, got his car ready, drove the church to church with the new car. Everybody was excited because they knew he was broke and they knew he had bad credit. They knew that had to be the Lord. So he told them what happened. And so they took up an offering, raised his, got money for his insurance, gas and down payment and everything, right? So I'm sitting there and the Lord told me, tell her that story. I said, ma'am, we have thousands of investors because we bought this building with bonds. I said, thousands of investors have trusted Word of Truth Family Church over a 20-year period to pay back $7.5 million. I need you to trust me for 6 days to bring your $187,000 back. And I stuck my hand out there like my pastor did. She left it out there for a while too. I was like, don't make me do the robot on you, don't. So anyway, she shook my hand and she says, preacher, my payroll is due. I said, ma'am, if I ain't got your money in 6 days, do whatever you need to do to get it. And I said it with confidence too, because I'm speaking by faith. I know you did. Yeah. I'm speaking with confidence, right? She don't know the Lord done told me to tell her that. And so then I had to have a confidence walk. You know how George Jefferson, when he
I walked out like that, you know. Then I got in the car. I was like, Lord, where we gonna get this money from? Where we gonna get this money? That was on a Friday, no money. Saturday, no money. Sunday, no money. Monday, no money. Tuesday, no money. Tuesday, I'm on my way here to have a meeting. I was coming down Collins. You can see the building being built. I'm thinking, Lord, what am I going to tell this builder? He going to ask me, what he going to ask me? Do I got the money? I ain't got the money. Soon as I'm thinking about what I'm going to tell this guy, my phone rings. Long story short, it was another church who knew we was building and said, the Lord told them to give us $200,000 and they wired it that day. What is my point? My point is some things you will not see until you do something now. So here's how we apply this. What's keeping you from saying yes? Is it the fear of the unknown? I want you to take some time this week to write down what you believe God is wanting you to do right now. And then I want you to ask him to confirm it, because some of y'all way out there be like, oh, I think God want me to jump out of an airplane without a parachute so I can break a record. No, you're going to break your life. What's keeping you back from saying yes? Because I believe God don't help me do a message like this unless there's several, that's three words, several people in here are struggling to say what that next yes is, because I don't know what it is, but I believe you know what it is. So every head bow. There are some people in this room today that need to say yes to some things so that you can get out of the cycle that you are in so your next season can start. I don't know who you are, but I want to pray for you. But I only want to pray for you if you're ready to say yes. So if that's you, very quickly, say, Pastor Evan, that's me. I'm stuck in some cycles. And there are some things that I know I need to do. And even if you don't know what you need to do, my question is, are you ready to say yes? If you fall in that category, I want to pray for you and get in agreement really, really quick with you. If that's you, raise your hand right there at your seat. Say, Pastor Evan, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. Wow, wow, wow. Hands all over the room. Oh, my God. It's almost the whole church. Keep your hand up. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, you see every hand. And I get an agreement now with every person that whatever they need to know and whatever they need to hear and whatever they need to do, that, Father, it will be heard, it will be said, it will get done. And I pray today that they are ready to say yes. In fact, if you have your hands up, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord, today I say yes to your will. I know, I may not know what it is, but what I do know, you're obligated to share with me what I need to know when I say yes to you. So Lord, I say yes to your will. I say yes to your way. I say yes to you. I trust you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can put your hand down. Father, thank you for those who are here today that need a relationship with you. That if they die today, they're not sure they'd go to heaven. So I pray that you will put on their heart.